Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
We're on second thought. Let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible! All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Mama Way!
Awe, 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 awe
something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures memories of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shazooz the Terrible and the Honorable Knights of the Round Table here. We got a lot of things going on these days with the alternative energy community. Hopefully we'll get into some of that today as well. And there's a lot of good things going on behind the scenes. Our network's growing by leaps and bounds, and I'm thankful, humbled, and honored that we have all this going on and I can be part of it. It's a wonderful thing when you can bring people from all different nations to come together on a joint venture per se to actually try to make our world a better place. We know the world's kind of messed up out there. There's things going on in this world that just aren't right, and we're all trying to throw a little positive pebbles in the pond and just try to make it a little bit better, a little bit at a time. And so with that said, since I still ain't recovered from my deal here, I'm going to try to not have to speak as much, but we got plenty of Knights of the Round Table to do a lot of talking there. Cultus, you want to tell everybody who's who we got around the table?
Oh, not a problem at all, mate. This week we are joined by Sir Thomas Anderson, Sir Abram, we are joined by Sir Mitko, Sir Kent Anderson of Hawaii has joined us, Sir Larry, King Shaziz, who rules with a Iron Fist.
This week,
we have a new dame of the table has arrived, courtesy of Mitko's effort during the week.
Yay!
So I will introduce and say hello to everybody now, Dame Ellie of Roxby Downs.
All right.
Say hello, Dame Ellie.
Hello.
Great.
Scared her off.
Got your microphone.
Live radio, where anything can happen, will happen. It just did happen right in front of you. Okay, so a slight technical issue there with Ellie, and we've just had a slight technical difficulty there with Sir Kent. So I'm just going to politely drop the wonderful Dame Ellie from the call and bring her back in, and hopefully this time we'll have her live. Hoopy doopy doo, aren't we lucky?
In the meantime, for all those folks listening out there, like I said, there's a lot of good things in the works, and we got a lot of exciting things on the horizon. This ought to be a really interesting year as far as alternative energy. I know definitely in the alternative energy community, but it's definitely going to be interested in other areas of alternative media as well. So, you know, with that said, with all the things going on in the world, not about getting out there fear-mongering your brothers and sisters around the globe. It's about pulling them together and bringing them to the table so that they can bring good information to one another and sort out some solutions to problems that we know exist and get some actions going. What do you guys think about that?
That's exactly what we're here for, you reckon, boys?
Yep. Heard a statistic recently talking about how in about 15 years we're going to need about 50% more energy to sustain the planet we're on and what we're doing. And to me, I can't even comprehend that. I don't think that's even possible.
So, 50% more energy?
Yeah. Yeah, twice as much in 15 years.
In my view, if they would stop using it inefficiently...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like we're at, what, either 5 or 15 trillion watts right now, and we're going to have, you know, twice as much. So I don't know. It's with what they're doing now and the systems they're doing now, that's not going to happen. And somebody's going to not have power. Think about it.
So, well, we're going to rewrite the energy books.
Lots of people don't have it already.
Yeah. Well, think about that. You know, it's a skewed statistic, obviously, but
I think it's scary. Probably another scary thing to factor into that is that we're running out of the sweet crude oil, and that's where we get most of our energy from is crude oil. The difference between a lot of people don't understand this, but the difference between sweet crude oil and the regular crude oil and sour crude oil is that it takes a lot more of the energy that's in a barrel of oil to get what's the other portion of it out.
Yeah,
because it
process.
Has to cook down. Yeah. Well, right, the process, you lose a bunch of that potential. The more sour it is.
You know, in my view, it would actually be a plus if we did run out of oil, you know? Because then you'd be forced to use these alternative technologies.
Right, we're not going to run out. That's the problem. The Earth keeps cooking it up. The problem is we're running out of what we can reach because it hasn't had time to bump up to the surface.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying hypothetically, it would be cool if we woke up in the morning and suddenly there was no more oil, you know? Bam, it's all gone. Some aliens came down and sucked it out with a giant straw and flew off into space, you know?
You know who that wouldn't affect at all? It would be my 100-year-old neighbor. She'd probably just go back to the way it was when she was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, like the people that don't have the power, like Thomas just said, they don't even have power. not going to affect them too much, you know? I mean, they're just going to go on with the way they've been going on. So,
But the key...
I think we may have been lucky enough here. Ellie, are you with us?
Yeah.
All right. Hello, welcome.
So we shall just go through it quickly again. I shall introduce... Dame Ellie of Roxby Downs. Say hello to everyone, Dame Ellie.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Scare her off, guys.
That's it.
Yeah, just you're right at home.
It'll last long.
You're right at home with friends and family, so don't stress. Anyway, like I was saying, it would be good to some extent if all the oil was to just up and disappear one day, because we already know it's not a worry anyway, because we could use water for fuel and everything else under the sun, so I'm not going to be worried about it.
You're right, but certainly back us into a corner where we would have to seek alternative means for energy, but in the same light... I do wonder how that transfer would go.
I know exactly how it would go.
We can start working on that transfer now. I mean, yeah, that's right, Thomas. Start messing around. Let's get busy. The implication, the implementation needs to have started already, you know.
People would be running around like chickens with their head cut off, freaking out. Oh, I ain't got no gas for my car. Oh. We're all going to die. The sky's falling.
It's all going to be done just like always, you know. Wait to the last minute to do your book report.
Like they did in the 70s?
Wait until the last second and then start talking about it. You know, that's...
Well, and here's another thing to factor in. All of us guys who's in the alternative energy community that they've mocked and ridiculed all these years, I bet they'd perk up and start wanting to listen in. They'd be like, hey, you know that stuff you used to talk about? I'm kind of interested in that. Oh, really? You weren't interested when you called me a nut?
they're only interested if I can boil their coffee for them.
Yeah, well, we can do
exactly.
that.
They were very specific. Until I could heat a cup of water for his coffee, the National Nuclear Security Agency does not want to hear from me.
We can send...
Mind you, I didn't really want to hear from him either, but he contacted me, so...
We can send their coffee... We can send their coffee into the next dimension, so, you know, we ain't got no problem.
So it's a big... I'm not interested until you can boil my cup of coffee.
But I want you to know I'm here.
Where'd my cup of coffee go?
Shows you where his priorities are at.
Yes, yeah. somebody in the fifth dimension's drinking your cup of coffee right now because you're a wise guy. Oh, man. See, that's what you got to love about thinking outside the box, man. You can actually have fun with all this kind of stuff. We know it's a serious subject, but, you know, trying to get the average Joe out there to pay attention. Huh?
Well, it's just not that serious, though.
Well, you know,
We have to try our hardest at what we do.
When you're trying to save the planet, when you're trying to save the planet and deflect Planet X, and when you're trying to keep the aliens at bay, you know, it's a serious subject.
I've seen you out there with Planet X, you're like, pow, pow.
Yeah, I was booty popping Planet X.
There is a video of this, people. You need to find it. It's
oh, man. First, you got to have a booty to pop anyway. But that's
the video Planet X marks the spot.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the video where Dame Shannon coached Shaziz out of his bedroom while I was recording on the camera to go, pow, pow.
It's on YouTube, boys and girls. You can find it.
Anyway, it looks like Mr. Salty the Pretzel Man trying to dance, okay?
He makes Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a big dude, man.
Yeah, I make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a huge dude, man. That'll teach him. So, anyway, it looks like we got Kent back.
We have Kent back. We most certainly do.
How's the weather in Hawaii, Kent? You got
lovely as always.
Lovely as always. Hey, is it true you can't take no rocks from Hawaii and bring them over here or you get cursed?
That's the rumor.
They just don't want you taking no more volcano with you, man.
Put that rock back, cultists.
No, actually, the rocks are supposed to be sacred, and they're cursed, and if you take them back with you, you get bad juju. So they actually, like, people send the rocks back.
Why? Well,
really? Yeah, they send, like, there's two rocks that people, tourists, take from Hawaii.
Wow.
And they find out it's cursed, and they send them back.
No way.
Yes.
Well, I've had
that is the most bizarre thing ever.
I've had bad juju all week long, so I don't need none. Keep your rocks over there.
What island are you?
Yeah, no one's interested in your rocks, Kent. Get it.
Yeah, I know. I know. Don't talk to me like that.
Keep over there in Hawaii.
No, can't we all just get along? Peace and love and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, bad luck rocks. Bad luck rocks in Hawaii, so leave them there. And you can come over to Missouri and take all the rocks you want. They're just rocks.
Just don't take them off the road because there's not enough to leave the road behind.
Oh, yeah, but see, my tax dollars put that chuck hole there, brother. So enjoy it.
Your tax dollars hard at work, because there's been potholes in your road. It's like, I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but I've got to say it because I just can't believe the stupidity in it. When I was standing out the back of Dame Shannon's house having a smoke early one morning, and as I watched the council, the local roadworks come down the road, shovel out a couple of scoops of bitumen, tar out the back of the trailer there, and then have the snow plow drive over the top of what they just thunder compacted.
Yeah, dig it right back out.
You just know the moisture during summer is just totally splitting that apart. The dudes are never, ever, ever going to be out of a job in Indiana, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's job security, brother. And that's why they go around knocking holes in the street in the middle of the night so they can go back and patch them the next day.
Yeah, patch them the next day. They had a job today. Yeah.
Man, I was driving down the road one day, and I hit a chuck hole that must have been 70 feet deep. Now, of course, that's stretching it a bit, but it sure did take a working on my car, man. I had to replace the tire and the wheel and the spindle.
70 feet deep. I love it.
I was like, man.
You've heard about that kid that was playing around the little plow hole full of water and went to jump in it and disappeared. That's happened up here in North Carolina.
Oh, that reminds me, whenever I was a young man, one time I was going to go stomp on a mud hole that my brother was standing next to, you know, the old ha-ha. Actually, it's happened to me a couple times. It backfired in my face. But this one particular episode, I went to jump in it. I didn't think that sucker was even, you know, remotely as deep as it was. But that thing came all the way up to my knees. I thought my brother was going to die laughing, man.
The one single moment I can look back into my life and wonder if the human brain has control of reality. I am the golf caddy. I'm the golf caddy at my club one day. We're out of the golf course. It's peeing down with rain, you know. I'm arguing that is a sand trap over there. Right? It's a sand trap. It's brown on top. It's a sand trap. Right? He's like, well, go and walk on it then. I'm telling you, it's reeds. I'm like, whatever. So, you know, me, all of like 11 or 12, I know everything, right? I rock up to what I assume is this sand trap, and I have literally taken two complete steps out onto the water until I notice the reeds break at my feet and then drop to my full height in depth of water. not saying I am, just saying something happened, all right?
Hey, that's where you get your character's built,
like
man.
Jesus, you can walk the water. I'm not saying nothing, Ken. But I had two solid steps before I ended up full body length in water. So,
what you're saying is basically you're part coyote.
Stuff was going on, mate. Stuff was going on. I was so
confused. That was part kangaroo. Kangaroo, get it right.
You do know in the cartoons.
Oh, you're not getting the joke, man.
You
Wiley
do.
Wiley
Coyote
and the Roadrunner.
You do
in the most violent cartoon of all time.
He's like out in the middle of in the middle of the air and doesn't fall until the Roadrunner points out he's standing out over the open air and then he falls.
Then he holds up a sign and says, "Help."
You guys do know that in the cartoons you can step out of the airplane at the last minute before it crashes, right?
Yeah, that's how you save your life from crashing your airplane. You jump out before it hits the ground. Troll
we're just
physics.
Aim for the biggest tree. You might survive.
We're just testing your laws of physics. Anyway, speaking of that, for those of you that went out there and went to the college, Shazoo's University there to get your college degree, somebody got the link they can throw up in the chat room there? It's right at the top of the super chat room. It says, attend the University of Mad Science and get your degree. So, go take the test, get your degree, and then you will be educated.
It involves getting electrocuted a little bit.
Well, that's the advanced degree.
That's the advanced degree. Yeah. We actually have percentages for degrees of burns required for each certificate. And until you've ended up with 30% third degree burns, you cannot have your master's in math science. It's that simple.
That's right. If there ain't been an explosion in your lab, you're not graduating.
But we will accept missing half your face for a testicle.
Yeah.
How about glass permanently stuck in your chest from blowing some gas?
Holy smokes!
Is there any way to get this?
No, you don't get one.
Is there any way to get this without, you know, like a bottle?
Maiming yourself?
A severe form?
No.
No way, yeah.
Travel talk about yourself. Thank you, Ken.
We'll make some sort of exceptions for the brilliant minds. So, with that said,
the brilliant minds.
I think Dame Ellie tried to
Ellie, have you got your degree yet?
No.
Okay, let's send her a link so she can go take the test, man. All right. I'm gonna pop the link in the chat room. And that way you can.
She may find it a little difficult tonight because we're sort of.
All right.
We've Jerry we've Jerry rigged her a studio. She's on her on her iPhone and her iPad. iPhone for the
No,
the
I'm just on the iPad now.
Oh, are you?
Yay!
Oh, but you can use the phone to surf the web.
I can.
Here we go. Sorted.
All right. Well, once you got that degree, you have a sheepskin that you can brag about.
I don't know if you want to brag about it, but you got it.
Hey, whenever you go to get when they ask you about your education level, that's all you need to show them.
I'm going to put that in with my immigration papers.
They're like, I'm going to go try to apply for a job down like ETNG or.
Yeah. Like, I'm so thoroughly educated, you can't tell me squad. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd like to hear from Ellie. How's life going over there in Roxby Downs? I got a friend that lives not too far from there. He's usually on here, Remedy, but I don't know where he's been lately.
Oh, I was thinking you were talking about me.
Oh, well, you're close to there, too.
Just a little. Well,
all of a 3-minute drive.
Oh. All right, well, that sure shows my geography skills. Alright, so I'm going to shut up now and get in the background and hide for a bit.
Apparently it's not. Just, it's down.
Well, it's freezing.
And this is the guy issuing scientist degrees.
Yeah, all you got to be able to do is think outside the box and you pass. Alright? That's it.
Well, I'm wondering if the people in Radioland need to know where this place is so they can get their own little...
Yeah, everybody go to www.shazizradio.com/universityHTML and take the test, get your degree, and you will be the proud owner of a degree that you can present on your wall and tell everybody you're educated above and beyond all those around you. Thank you.
Photo. Missions for your advanced degrees will be accepted.
Yeah.
Cultist.
Yes, sir.
Vertical access wind turbines.
Yes.
I saw your video, Ryan, and that was a cool deal there. Want to tell about it?
Well, just once again, taking people's trash and slapping it together. I was working with the actual wind, the prop and doing that. I made one out of a 1982 ceiling fan. So
that was made the same year as me.
You got pictures? So it's pretty heavy duty, you know, compared to the ones they make these days. Anyway, but
You got pictures?
Yeah.
You don't have
to. Mad side on.
Made a few, but I made that one. Did some tests on that. It's been sitting out there for about 7 days. It's so funny. Build a couple wind turbines, and it the wind will never blow again where you live.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's kind of, it's driving me crazy, man. I mean, it's like if I went and built a boat out there, it would never rain again. I mean, it's just, but, so I started working that, and then I thought about, you know, because I get really high-speed winds where I'm at during the winter, most of the time, fall and winter, and even spring. I don't know why it's not windy now. It's strange. But so I built the vertical access out of, you know, one out of just some old boards and an old spool that I got from the electric company, and I stuck it on the bottom of one of the three-phase, the X13. And stuck it out there and started playing with it. And what was weird is when I made it, I didn't secure all the blades inside. I just put two tap screws on either side so I could adjust it.
Cool.
And see, you know, what the deal is. Because if you can adjust those blades, you know, in extremely high winds, you could turn it down to where it's not going to spin so violently. I mean, you know, you can add the load to it and slow it down that way. But
Buddy's actually. He's got himself a rig there where the tail is on a pivoting arm. When it hits a certain speed, it kicks out the light.
That thing is, that's a pretty amazing little thing he made out of a ceiling fan. It really is.
But Ryan, if it's going to be any benefit of you, I have a suggestion on how you can solve your plight with the no wind and no rain thing.
dance.
No, what you do, what you do is go load your car up with all your camping and fishing gear and plan a fishing trip. And then the moment you get the car loaded up, it'll start raining and be all windy outside. That's how it works, man.
Now I've got a better one. If he wants torrential, if he wants like torrential winds, I'll grab some helium balloons and my motor and head out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's going up straight that way.
Yeah, that's what, it's just ironic. Like I said, you spend the time doing it, and you know, I've gotten some nice little gusts, and a few little storms have gone by, and technically, you know, I've had it. It's been, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 days. It's been hooked to a 12-volt DC load, basically running the exciter and 440 watt halogen, you know, 48-inch bulbs. And I mean, it spins enough to keep it, you know. I think I looked at it this morning, and it was down at, you know, 6.5, 6.7 volts or whatever. But that's, you know, that's not even with the wind really blowing. And the amazing part about it is how, you know, just how efficient these motors are. You just go out there and spin it with your hand for about 2 or 3 minutes, and you can charge up. It's just like the fastest battery charger I've ever seen. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And then I just see just the fact that the wind alone, you know, you mix wind and solar, I mean, there you go. I heard another one of these statistics. It's like, what was it? If you got land the size of New York State and you covered that all with solar panels, we could supply everybody with power.
Well, I believe it.
Isn't there that much room just laying around somewhere? I mean, seriously, to get sunlight, the ocean.
I believe it's called, they call it desert here in America.
Yeah.
Well,
they call it Roxby Downs here in Australia.
Ryan, yeah. Ryan, what are these motors? What are these motors that you're using? What do they come out of?
They come out of AC units, you know, like pretty decent size, nice size AC units. You know, my buddy Terry, he got some last week. They were at the carrier place, I believe, and you know, they're all going to get thrown away. What they are
is like a squirrel cage.
Yeah, they're like three-phase motors. You know, and it's got the big magnet that's rounded in the middle, and basically, you know, it's just a couple bearings. It's only, you know, really four parts to the thing. It just comes right apart. You know, it's a three-phase. So if you want DC, you know, you got to put a bridge rectifier on there. If not, it's pretty amazing. You just hook it up to a lamp and turn a drill, and the lamp will turn on. I mean, it'll run. They're just pretty amazing. The fact is they're being thrown away thousands and thousands all the time. The units on the back, they have a module on the back that controls it, because it's, you know, it's a variable speed. It's going to move up and down depending on what the unit's doing. Hopefully, Terry, I'm getting this right. But basically, the back part blows up. You know, one of the caps goes, or you know, the something just messes up in it. And instead of just swapping out the back side of it and putting another, you know, all of the things back on it, they get rid of the whole thing. So they basically thrown. I mean, they're getting chucked in the landfill and stuff. I mean, these motors where you could just take a couple of, you know, two or three of the half horsepower. And if you have those hooked up right, I mean, and you've got your battery bank, you're off the grid. You know, I plan on, you know, I'm not going to fully try to take the house off the grid, but 8 months out of the year, it's cold where I live. So if I can somehow use the sun, and I can use the wind that constantly is blowing when it's cold to run the heaters to heat my house, and I don't have to chop wood this year, and deal with wood heat. That's the step. And the test is if I can do it. Can I do a season of that and my systems work? And if so, then it's time to go and give these to people. And
you got a solid internet connection? I got a heater here. It just takes an internet connection.
Yeah. Well, that's like me. I've been trying to figure out how to run a. I want to run some slayers and wireless power off the Wi-Fi. Unit, you
know? No,
that's sending
so bad.
Power out. You know.
You know it how. Takes, you know. Well, you know how tornadoes created, right? The hot air and the cold air mixing.
Yeah, well, it's wind. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was contemplating on this some time back. I actually talked about it on one of the shows, but if you could build you a system by which you could get the heat to rise and the cold air to fall down there, don't you think that you could create a man-made wind that way? Or do you think it would take too much energy to do it?
You think about using lenses.
The Fresnel lenses,
plastic membrane with water in it. I don't know. I think the sun. The sun has the ability to. I was thinking around the same lines too.
Fresnel mirror idea. They just set up a whole bunch of small mirrors that are on little stilts. Like half a foot or a square foot in size, and you arrange them like a parabolic. That way you can focus a tremendous amount of sunlight all in one area.
Yeah, well, that gets into Tesla's awesome boiler system with his. He ran and used the steam to turn his motors and create power. I mean, the sun's all, that's the key. It really is.
That's where all the energy we have for the most part comes from.
They have those fans that you can put on top of wood-burning stoves that when the heat rises, it causes the blade to turn, right?
Stirling engine.
Well, it's kind of like a Stirling engine, but it's essentially, I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Peltier ones.
Years ago, no, they're not even Peltier. It just works.
It costs $150. I know that.
It just works. It just works by the cool air falling and then the heat rising. Back in the old days, they used to have this deal that they sold in like a home interior thing, or maybe it was even Avon. I don't remember, but it was a little miniature carousel, and you put a candle underneath there, and it had a turbine at the top. And when you light that candle, the heat rising would create enough wind pressure to turn that little wheel on there. And it had like little medallion things that whenever you go around, they'd reflect on the wall and that kind of stuff. But it was a really neat concept. But they actually have wood-burning fans that work the same way. When the heat rises, it turns a turbine, which, turns a little fan blade. And so that's why I was mentioning that if it was possible to build a system to where you could get a lot of cold air dropping down as a lot of heat rising at the same time.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. You could almost take one of these. You could take one of the X13s, hook it to a little prop or something. Maybe 4-bladed, 5-bladed. I don't know. Hang it up above your wood stove. Once your wood stove's going, it's gonna spin. I mean, you could heat the ground, kind of what Thomas was saying, using the lenses to heat a black surface on the ground. And then, the heat rising off of that should, everybody's seen a heater underneath a ceiling fan spinning for some reason. It's just the hot air rising. I mean, utilize it. I mean, I believe like we were saying in the beginning, if push came to shove and the oil disappeared, people would figure stuff out a lot faster than they have been.
Well, and I think that if...
You see that link I posted?
Yeah,
I think that my way of thinking on this deal is that wintertime would be a really awesome time to try this out because, it's already colder than heck outside. And if you built a like a chamber that you could pump heat up through that, and as the cold air is falling into the chamber and the heat is rising up through the chamber, it would get that swirling motion going on. What do you think?
Yeah, we're looking at the lake right now for that little... Thomas put it on there. Yeah, it basically just looks like a heat sink, with a propeller on it. It looks like it's just basically capturing the way the angle of the propeller is. It's just capturing the heat coming up.
Nice call, though, BK. Nice call. For $120, I'd want a gold-plated fan, too.
I'm not sure exactly how it works, but it's an old technology where they basically use heat that runs through that metal.
Yeah.
And dissipates off of the heat sink on top and forces, and that causes the fan to turn so you can blow the heat from your wood burning stove all around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at three, what's the height of it? I mean, it's like, 3 inches tall? No. It's small. I've seen one nine and three quarter inches tall. They're not that big. I mean, they're. Yeah,
but I'm still saying that anything can be scaled up, can be scaled down, because I've actually seen one of those versions that was a full-size fan, and it worked really good, but they were expensive as heck, and gold-plated probably like Mitko once.
Well, I was going to say, this isn't working off a rising heat, like the airflow rising. It's working off of the actual heat rising through the heat sink.
Heating up the actual metal.
So there's some sort of, you know, mechanical action that's produced by the
inside that heat cylinder behind that behind the blade, inside that cylinder.
What's happening. So.
Hey, Kent, what island are you on?
I am on the Big Island.
Cool. My aunt lives on Hilo's side. She's always talking about how they're doing the geo stuff over there, trying to, when we're talking about heat rising and volcanoes, I mean, that's heat rising.
Yeah, if you live next to a volcano and you don't have free energy, something's wrong with that picture because...
Well, I'm kind of thinking about sneaking a drill well out here because the geothermal fell away from where my place is, so...
Get in there,
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a 30 megawatt thermo or geothermal plant.
Hawaii should have all the heat that, and electricity that they need, man. With the volcano,
got certain individuals, mostly long-haired hippies, that think that
you are on the Big Island.
Yeah, I am. I'm out here. Out here, the people just down the road, so you know I know where it is. but they don't think that you should be pulling the heat out of the ground. It's kind of a sacred thing, you know. It's weird, dude.
Well, as long as you ain't cursed by it, what's the problem?
Yeah, so you're not taking any rocks.
Yeah,
my aunts lived over on Hilo for 20 years now, so I've heard all of the last few years. I guess that geo thing.
You guys want to hear a true story of a real cursed rock? I found a meteor, right? And I did that's back before I knew they were worth money. But anyway, I broke it in half, and I had a chunk of it laying down on the doggone floor on the ground down there. And we come home one night, and we were locked out of the house. My niece was watching the house and the kids, and they fell asleep, and we were locked out. And so my ex-wife gets this crazy idea about she's going to throw this chunk of rock up there and knock the fan out of the window and then wake them up so that we can get inside the house. So she commences to throwing this chunk of rock up there, bounces off the window, comes down, bounces off my head. I kind of wobble around in the backyard. I lean up against this old refrigerator and I told her, I said, "Woman, I'm going down."
what I'm wondering is if that shot was actually intentional or not.
Well, if it weren't, it was a good shot, I'll tell you that.
And if it was, it was still a good shot.
Yeah.
You got it on the rebound, right? That's worth points.
It was a ricochet, man. And I saw just like the cartoons, I saw stars and birdies. But I was going down.
No, go ahead, Shaz.
Yo, go ahead.
No, go ahead. All right, I'll go ahead. How many people know Stephen Hartman?
Stephen Hartman? Why do I know that name?
Nobody knows who Stephen Hartman is.
Sounds familiar, but I can't recollect.
Okay, he's the guy that has the OverUnity.com.
OverUnity.com, yeah.
Yeah.
To say
so anyway, he was telling... Went to that Tesla Tech conference out there, and apparently somebody's got a device that uses reactive power from a transformer to get like
200.
Efficiency.
Yeah, I've seen it. He's been posting it all week. Yeah.
So, he's pretty excited about it. He doesn't get excited about very many things, but he's
Excited over that QEG device when it first bloody come out.
I don't know, did he?
He posted a few times about it. He was nudged a couple of times. Told that it's...
He might have posted a few things about it, but he didn't go so far as to writing waveforms and schematics and trying to figure out how to make the reactive power work from you instead of having to put in real power. It's Anyway, that's kind of like news on the NP front, something to look at, maybe.
Sadly, though, like, you know me with people's track records. I haven't seen a working Kapanzi device come out of Stefan either, so I'm a little...
Well, I don't think he's been on the doing any work on the Kapanzi device.
He was all over it back in the day.
But he could never get to the bottom of it.
The thing that bothers me about all...
It was up to the translations and everything else.
The thing that bothers me about all these devices that you guys are mentioning, and it falls back in there to... what's that other guy's name? Doggone it. He has a little reactor that he uses a chemical reaction get going. It's driving me nuts. Anyway, these devices that they keep talking about, they don't seem to ever want to put nothing out there open source to tell you exactly what's going on. And to me, that kind of puts a skeptical eye on it, you know.
Well, you know,
Keshi, that's what I was thinking about, Keshi.
A lot of these people come up with these devices and they automatically see money beyond belief. So, you know, why, you know, you can develop it and make a few million dollars in the process. That's their whole thing.
Well, our whole thing is you could actually still make money doing it, but you could still put it out there open source, you know. There's that atmospheric motor place that Cultus visited that he was talking about where they open source their stuff. I mean, they patent it as well, but they want everybody to test it out so that they can prove their ideas.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they can still make money off of it, but still.
If you put a technology out that actually helps solve some of the energy problems we've got here, you're not going to run out of people to sell to, no matter how many other people are making the same technology and selling it.
This is true. A lot of these guys that are coming up with these ideas or bringing out these devices, Stephen Marks is another one. But basically, the government spooks came down on him so hard that he don't dare say squeak about it.
That's what usually happens.
Yeah, well, so you either open source it, mm-hmm. and you still have the spooks that come in and debunk it and put a whole bunch of wrong information in there and theories and whatnot till nobody knows exactly what was the original thing on it. I mean, you take a look at all these devices. You get them on the internet, and pretty soon there's 500 discs that are out there telling, you know, everything from metaphysical to whatever their theory is, basically muddying the water. So I don't know. It's going to be difficult to get to the bottom of the truth, shall we say?
Well, yep. As crazy as
that's
it sounds,
kind of why I said working within small groups and sharing directly. Don't try to share with the whole world. Share with a small group of 5 or 10 people you trust and let them spider it out. You know, they share with 5 or 10 people they trust and just keep spreading it until it basically spreads underground.
As crazy as it sounds, and I lean more towards John Hutchinson's work, and I know there's a lot of different things could be said about it, especially modern day. Some of his videos are just like nutty as all get out, you know. But
does that on purpose?
Yeah, that's what I think. But back in the day, the technologies that he was working with and the anomalies that he were getting were more in line of what the kind of stuff that we're talking about these days about, you know, different frequency ranges and being able to stimulate the electron as opposed to brute forcing it to the next atom. But he had a lot of anomalies back in the day that, you know, pretty much... proved what we were talking about now. I mean, we all know how frequencies work. If you could get in the right frequency range, you could run a motor just as efficient as it would be if it was running off the grid, but not have to use near the power to do it. And I'm a firm believer in that. But if you look at John Hutchinson's work nowadays, as opposed to back in the old days before, you know, all the craziness started in, I think somebody got to him, and I think Ryan was right whenever he said that he acts crazy intentionally to keep people off his back.
Well, he does.
Ryan was talking to him the other day, and it was the first thing I put to Ryan, and yeah, we've been on the ball for a while. It's all good. Just over it, man. He just wants them all to leave him alone.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that this is the advice when you're working with high frequencies and just doing all the stuff that he was doing and some of the stuff that we try to do and play with and things. You know, most conventional scientists are gonna say we're crazy and they're gonna do the same thing. Just what Kent was talking about. And that they're not gonna accept it. The only people that ever showed Hutchison any kind of attention was the military.
Yeah.
That's who's going to want to talk to people doing this kind of research.
Yep.
Here, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
And that's kind of, it's kind of awful to think about, but that's why a lot of people don't talk. There's a lot of people out there doing this stuff, and they're not going to make a YouTube video and put it out there. And I don't blame them in some ways.
The thing is, if you stay away from the patent process, then you're going to be a lot better off than you would be if you try to get a patent on it. Because, first off, the patent offices aren't going to give you anything that says anything remotely about free energy or perpetual motion. They reject them right out of the gate if it says anything remotely like that. So you got to figure out a way.
If you read their details on the U.S. Patent Office's website, it tells you flat out they will not issue a patent for anything as perpetual motion over unity or there's like two or three other terms that they basically caught onto that. So
because it's a direct threat to society. They would see that as the same thing as a national security threat. That's how they perceive these. Anybody that ever came up with a box that all of a sudden was creating, power from just air blowing through it or some salt water. There's a lot of guys working on this stuff, and it is a threat to them, period.
It makes me wonder how long they're gonna let it go before they start cracking down on people who are openly pointing out the fraud or
some
quantitative easing and whatnot. No, that's a threat to their security too.
The thing that not really, because if you look at some of these forums, and there's a lot of forums out there, there's always that group of guys that 2 months ago, and they spew out most half truth garbage you ever did see on some of these devices, and people go out there and they start trying to build it. They spend money trying to build these half-baked ideas that these guys come up with.
Wasting a bunch of money, and then they get frustrated.
Yeah, they're wasting a lot of money, and so they drop out. They give up.
Well, and that's what makes it hard for guys like us who are really doing real research, is that they're trying to debunk everything under the sun. And a lot of things get overlooked. When I look at these devices out there, I've said this before, I'm looking for the anomalies. I'm not looking for whether this thing fully functions. I'm looking to see whether it has a real anomaly, like the lens effect or whatever, when you're sliding a magnet down in the center of a copper tube. Something's going on there. And those are the things that I want to know about, because those are the pieces of the puzzle to really create something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
it's like Thomas said, all the parts are laying right in front of us. It's all here, right in front of us. We just got to pick through it all and figure out how to put it together. So it's all right here.
Well, I think
the technology too.
I think we're already there, and I think it's just going to be a matter of, like you just said, Ryan, taking these pieces of the puzzle, sitting down with all the different researchers, and just doing it, man. It's as simple as that.
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing the point of what I was saying about spreading it underground with people you know. Don't just, tell them about it. Sit and actually really invest your time with those four or five people and teach them how to do what you've got so that you can get them using it.
Yep.
That's the most important thing. They're now using it. They connect with four or five people, each of them, so now you've got, they've spidered out to another 25 or more people that are also, they're sitting down and helping them and getting them into it, so they're using it. Now you've got 30 people, then that keeps just expanding. Let it go viral without having to be on the internet, like with a YouTube video or something like that.
I'm thinking about starting to produce my own hydrogen. That'd be fun.
Meanwhile, I mean, put all your effort in like you're saying there, Thomas, in like the physical realm. But at the same time, splatter at the crap all over the internet too. Don't put all your eggs in half a basket. Spread them.
All it takes one person to leak out that this thing is working, and they'll come in and they'll pick every one of you up, and that'll be the end of it. You'll be put under an NSA national security gag order.
People you trust. I mean, you got to think it's not just like that one group.
Thomas,
there's going to be multiple people that figure this out.
That works.
So all it takes is one group to spider out until there's like 5,000 or 6,000 people that all know about this all over the place. And, you know, there's no way they're going to be able to stop it at that point.
Well, and that's why I like to do the way the things that I do is because I want to put all the little nuggets out there. You know, we all know how thermoelectric works. We all know how hydro and wind power and solar and all that kind of stuff there. You put all those little bits out there, you know, that can be verified. There's free energy right there. I don't care what anybody says, you know. If you got a solar panel, when's the last time you got a bill from the sun? And if you don't put all your eggs in one basket like Coltis was talking about, you put all this information out there, and then when the final pieces of the puzzle are put together and you just throw the device out there to everybody, it's like opening Pandora's box. Once the information's out there, you know, what are they going to do, run around and round up the planet, you know?
Well, it's just like Kent said, though, if you put it out like that where they get a chance to see it, too, then they'll just stick their dogs on basically the internet and have them, you know, putting a bunch of disinformation out there, and then you'll have a bunch of people that won't even pay attention to it. They either tried it or they had somebody basically, you know, that they know that tried it and it didn't work because they used one of those half-baked ideas, and then they just discount the whole kit and caboodle. You know, they're not willing to listen to any of it anymore. Once you spend like, you know, $500 or $600 or $1,000 on something and it doesn't work, you're ready to give up. That's it, you know.
Well,
most people just walk away at that point.
Make it out of joke.
Back to watching TV.
Prove it works. Put it out there, and that way somebody else can make it out of junk. They don't spend a lot of money, and if they realize that they can make it out of junk and they did it properly in a machine shop, that they would get a better result.
Yep. Well, one of the issues, too, of putting it out there, as you say, is that you can, you know, use video effects and whatnot to make anything look like it's actually doing something it's not. And we are so heavily inundated as a society with special effects from movies.
Yeah, but all
people are trained not to trust their eyes.
All that stuff's going to come back to bite them, man, because the truth is out there, and if I show you a device and it's working and you can't duplicate it and you come back and tell me it can't duplicate it, I have to explain why you can't duplicate it. And it ain't going to be as simple, especially with this crew, it ain't going to be as simple as me saying, oh, well, you must have wired it wrong or something like that, you know? And that's why I want virtual labs up and running.
A direct contact, though, when you're working directly with somebody, it's a lot easier to work with someone that you know than to try to just go off a YouTube video from someone that you have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And actually get in like video chat and whatnot and see what they're doing.
Well, that's why.
This is what I said. If you're going to put it out there on YouTube, then be prepared to put a link underneath it that connects to like a Google Hangout or a Skype Hangout or something where you can actually get in and ask questions and have them flip it over and, you know, all the things that you couldn't see in the YouTube video, you'll get a chance to see.
Yeah, virtual labs.
You won't spend the time to watch.
Virtual labs.
You know, while they prove it works. So,
virtual labs.
You get
that's
use
what
the
it's
YouTube
all about.
Video just to attract attention. Then you use the direct video connection as a proving ground. You know,
yeah,
as verification.
That's why virtual labs needs
what
to be.
I do.
That's why virtual labs needs to be up and running so that we can have that real time, you know, where people can look in while it's actually being built and while it's actually being run and tested and all that kind of stuff, you know. Hey, you're measuring it wrong or whatever, you know, and that way, you know, you got real time eyes on it all the time and there ain't no shenanigans can get through that, you know.
Well, what Kent was talking about with the spooks, this is probably the wrong place to be talking about it, too. You want to use something else like OVO or
Let Him Go. Let Him Go. Google. Every radio show.
Go and tell off. That's what I'm
going to say. Well, no, I'm not talking about the radio show.
I'm going to say TSA.
Right, you don't want to
use the keywords.
That freely doesn't hand. You want to use something that doesn't just freely hand over all information, and they're not actively searching it too.
Well, I'm not afraid of them. You know what are they going to do? I'm 48 years old. They do me in now. I've had an eventful life, and I got enough information stored out there. If they ever do me in, that they're just going to screw themselves because everybody's going to have it.
Yep. I don't know. I think you're kind of shortchanging just how voracious and evil some of these people can be. Uh-huh. Doing you in is like the least of your worries. So these are people that basically, if they don't like someone, they slip child porn on their computer and then have them basically arrested for it and branded, and you know, their family ruined and destroy their, you know, their financial situation so their kids are living under bridges and God only knows what all else.
Well, I mean, if they do that to me, they better be ready for World War III.
Hey, they use drones to shoot and kill children in other countries. I mean, what do you think they're going to do to us?
They better be ready for World War III, brother. Guaranteed. They pull that monkey business on me. I got a few computer skills myself. So, I'm not totally without. Anyway.
Well, Shaziz, I think on that note, it's time for a few tunes.
All right, well, let me see what I can drag up here, man. I've got a doggone toothache of epic proportions going on.
Oh, you need some Boone.
Yeah, I need something stronger than Boone. Mama,
get the rum, Mama.
Since we're talking alternative energy.
That's not penicillin, man.
Since we're talking alternative energy,
hey! What?
This is live, man. Since we're talking alternative energy, I'm going to throw my theme song on there. How's that sound?
Alrighty.
Alright, stay tuned, everybody. Listen to Knights Roundtable. Peace and love.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible and all the Honorable Knights of the Round Table and the Honorable Dame of the Round Table, Ellie. And with that said, during the break there, we were talking about how they tried to essentially erase Tesla from the history books, you know. When they talk about alternative energy, they'll always talk about Edison and Westinghouse and different people like Marconi and stuff like that for wireless transmission of messages, wise anyway. But they always seem to somehow or another skip over Tesla. And then we also even got even further to talk about reason why they would be doing that would be to basically make it appear as if, you know, his stuff was so amazing that it was totally unbelievable. But you got a bunch of guys sitting around here that mess around with Tesla technology that know the stuff works. And so with that said, in our alternative energy community, we're sitting there trying to put this stuff back out there, you know, on the table for people to check out. Ryan from Abrams Lab, he does a lot of stuff with the Slayer Exciter, and if you ain't familiar with that, he's got videos on that, and there's a lot of research you could do with that. But essentially, it's taking a frequency and lighting up some bulbs, you know, energizing some fluorescent bulbs. You know, to some people, they don't seem like that big of a deal, but it is a big deal because you're actually getting some work out of a different style of electricity, and that's essentially what we're working on doing is
high frequency.
Yeah, redesigning the way that you use energy as opposed to the brute force method by which we do it now. And a lot of these things, like what Larry's working on, are pretty much the same thing. It's not changing the nature of electricity. You can't necessarily do that, but you can change the frequency by which you use it to you know, get things done. So what's your guys' thoughts on that? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once. Want nobody.
I'll say something. You know,
we're all way too polite, aren't we?
I've said this to a few guys before. You know, electricity, from what I've acquired from the things I've done, the way electricity is used now, it's as if you're sending an older lady down a path that's all rocky and up and down and through storms and over rivers and, oh, it's snowing and, oh, no, it's hot and you're in the desert. We just send it through a path that it doesn't like. It wants a nice, calm path, all the same, you know, and finding that path, the correct path for electricity is one of the first things. I mean, you know, these fields, Larry knows all about it, you know.
In my view, if you're getting waste energy such as heat, then you're doing it wrong. And so,
absolutely,
if you could do the same work without the wasted heat, then you could. I got lots of friends in alternative energy, but I got a friend that doesn't live too far away from me. And he was using capacitor banks to actually tune motors and get them to work to their max potential with the least amount of energy. And I physically stood there and watched him do this, and so I do know that it works. And so with that said, if you could figure out how to reuse the energy as opposed to the brute force method by which we do it now, you know, you take a magnetic field and you shake the electron loose and it goes over and bumps the next electron off and so on and so forth, and you basically get electrical current going on. We know there's electrical current flowing around us 24/7. It's just in different frequency ranges. It's all, you know, atoms, electrons flying in all different directions. There's radio waves, there's you know, frequencies coming from space, radiation, whatever, you know. All of that's energy potential. And so to tap into that could be something as simple as tuning in your radio to the right frequency. You know, it's your favorite radio station, it's there. You may not be on that channel, but it's still there. All them radio frequencies are already there waiting for you to use them. All you got to do is tune it in correctly. So, you know, would I be wrong in my way of thinking that if you could tune the frequency as opposed to going all the way up to 60 hertz, which would be the bare minimum without, you know, causing the heat that would be created from the friction of the electrons slamming into each other, if you could just stimulate it just enough up to get that electron movement going, that you could get that same device to run more efficient and with less waste energy? Anybody?
No reason why it can't be done. That is what we discussed. The bottom line, and we discussed this just last night, was that every product out there is designed to waste. It's designed to waste in heat, designed to waste in multiple different ways. We just need to redesign. So we redesign and we make semiconductors that are actually, don't have huge voltage drops.
Well, all electronics, right, all electronics now are basically built not to resonate. They don't like resonance. And Tesla was about resonance. So think about resonance-based new electronics, things that are set up to work. And that's where you get all, there are things like that. That's kind of like what Laser Saber's been working on, stuff that's circuits that are resonating. Heck, Russ, I even think, does stuff with like that. Non-conventional electronics. That's kind of what they would call it.
Right. So it's a lot harder to calculate everything out when everything in the system is vibrating. That's why they try to cut it all out so they only have to focus
see,
on
that vibration,
or on one
that
item
vibration
or another.
But that vibration is the key to what Shiz is talking about.
They say that they say the conspiracies, every time the word conspiracy comes up, that's one of them word taboo words, there ain't no conspiracy going on, it's just the way things are. But wouldn't planned obsolescence essentially be a conspiracy, to make things to where they won't last very long and they will destroy themselves,
That's a marketing business.
The point of the term planned, though, is that they're making sure that it wears out at a specific point in time, so they can offer you some sort of guarantee or warranty that makes you feel comfortable, but not last any longer than that, so that you still have to keep coming back to buy more. You don't see planned obsolescence in toilet paper.
If you can plan out obsolescence to where you can actually time it out how long the product should last, then why couldn't you plan it to last longer? You see what I'm saying? There's the light bulb in Europe.
They did it back in the 50s and the 60s. That's why those cars are still going.
Well, a perfect example is the original Edison light bulb. There's ones that are over 100 years old still floating around out there working with solid tungsten.
I've got one.
High-grade tungsten element in them.
I've got one, and it still works.
They literally spend, tons of money to figure out how to make the electronics to the brink, very brink of what they can do, so they know that flat-screen TV is only going to last X amount of hours. And then they figure in how much somebody's watching. And then, they probably market their next TV right when those are about to... It's all being done for money, period.
But once in a while...
The reason why your car breaks... It seems like everything breaks at once, or everything breaks when it's supposed to, most of the time a car will get, X amount of miles before the head gasket blows on it. I had a lot of Subarus. You get up to about 150,000, 120,000, your head gasket blows. They designed it to do that. I've had enough, and it happens at the same time.
But every once in a while, Ryan, they let a little bit slip out, such as the Coltis bulb that you built, that you guys were driving over, and it'll still light up, You're talking about, a fluorescent bulb that, as long as you don't break that vacuum, that bulb will last forever. And it was brilliant putting it into into some acrylic resin, so you could smash it.
I think you're saying too much right about now, Shaziz.
It's... But either way, what I'm saying, though. Every once in a while, they let things like this slip through that they don't catch right out of the gate. They'll make a fluorescent bulb to where it won't last in the doggone deal. But I've been saying this for years. I've been pulling them out of trash and still lighting them up.
Yeah. Well, see, that's once again a threat. Think if everybody knew that they could have a device in their house. And when their neon bulb died, or the ballast part in the bottom, or whatever, something messes up, and as long as the gas is in there, that's the thing with the CFLs, the circuits in the bottom can fry out, something can mess up from that, But those bulbs, as long as they're not broken, they're going to last.
Yeah. And if they knew... You're going to see that a lot with LED lights, too.
Yeah,
LEDs now. You can convert that AC into DC from the runoff of it, and that will burn out long before that LED does.
Yep.
Oh, and the LEDs with this cert, with the Slayer and these coils, if you could hook up a ton of those and run those forever. I mean, you know, those are the most efficient things to use with this circuit. But heck, man, it's
the ballast inflorescence systems are a joke anyway. You know, they're wasteful. I mean, really super wasteful as far as how they light things up. That one circuit you got, you could put a smaller deal in there as opposed to a big heavy ballast and run it off a whole lot less energy than what it's being run off of now, and save a massive amount of electricity. So,
yeah,
you know, this stuff, they talk about it ain't no conspiracy. This stuff has to be intentional. I mean, these guys out there, they have access to some really amazing labs and tools and technology. You know doggone good and well that they know just the same thing that you know.
Wait, I was going to say, hold on a second, man. Just because they have the tools, the technology, and the labs, that's not intelligence. That's just stuff.
Money.
If you throw an ape into that lab, they're not going to do, you know, just because they have a lab versus not having a lab doesn't mean they're going to suddenly be able to do better stuff than you can do.
All right, well,
you know, a lot of people want to use...
still an ape. You still got an ape in a lab.
a lot of people want to use this circuit and this type of wireless transmission. You know, the products I'm seeing now, you know, are pads that you lay your stuff on and it charges up your computer or whatever wirelessly. I mean, these are the products that they're pushing out. You know, they're not trying to put light in people's homes that don't have electricity in third world countries and stuff. They're not trying, none of that. They're just trying to make product, and that's the key. They see a technology, and they're not seeing the potential or what good it can do. They see what potential and what good it's going to do for their wallet, and that's.
Well, I'm gonna say something that's gonna sound crazy, but I'm 150,000% positive that you could build a device about the size of a one car battery and go down and run a single wire system through the entire town of a third world country and give everyone lighting. And maybe that sounds crazy, but look at Ryan's videos. I mean, look how many light bulbs he's lighting up with one little bitty circuit. You know.
One little bitty circuit usually just running off of maybe 9 or 18 volts, or maybe 20 volts DC. Now, how hard is it to produce that? How hard is it to charge a battery system with that low of a voltage? You know, I I'm going to push it out there. I'm going to keep putting these out there and keep putting these videos out, and they try to debunk it or whatever. Somebody says something about this or that, and I think about it, heck, I'll make a video. You know, I'll make another video. It's there. It's been there.
Well,
it's
just going to be
Thank
a matter,
you, Gary.
Like Thomas talked about, you know, putting it down into the, essentially, the underworld, so to speak, you know.
Well, you can set, you know, I sent one to Canada. Went through customs just fine, so I think it's kind of under the radar, to be honest. I've got lightning bolts in my house. People can come over and see all kinds of different shapes and sizes and kinds, and you know, all kinds of different lightning. And the one thing that always blows their mind more than anything is just to stand there with that bulb, with that little circuit and that little coil, and light up a bunch of bulbs, and it's the one thing. It's amazing. You would think lightning bolts would get people, but it's not. It's the fact that this is running on such a low amperage. I mean, there's nothing, you know, it could run off 9-volt batteries for days, you know.
Well, the whole...
waterproof.
The whole hypocrisy...
We make them to float.
The whole hypocrisy of the system, and especially the green folks, the green folks really make me mad, because they should really be back and kind of work what we do, you know, kind of research. And, you know, because they're always hollering about, you know, the so-called global warming, which we all know is a scam. And they always talk about all the, you know, got to save the planet and everything. But here we are with true ideas that can, you know, at the very least, reduce the so-called carbon footprint. You know, if you're instead of running 10 incandescent bulbs, running 10 fluorescent bulbs, which is giving you the same amount of lighting, or even, you know, 10 LED systems giving you the same amount of lighting, and you're not using near the energy, wouldn't that be more beneficial towards their cause than, you know, than the way that they're going about things, you know, trying to hijack everybody, charge them a carbon tax?
You're talking about people who are doing all this stuff for political reasons. Yeah. All this stuff is for votes, dude. Well, the thing about the whole concept of basically there being a conspiracy, though, there may be isolated incidents where this is the case, but most of the time the people are just pretty much too stupid. I mean, and it's not really... I mean, you know, as they get older, I guess it is more their fault. They should take some responsibility for it. But people are raised to be stupid, you know? We have a system that basically does everything it can to keep people from having a critical thinking intellect, because people who have critically thinking intellects would not go for a lot of the nonsense that goes on in our politics.
Well, it's a plan of ignorance, basically. They want people ignorant, and what happens is they become lethargic and lazy, and that's where stupidity comes into play. But, you know, think about
to get right down to the nub of it, though, man, they used to kill off smart slaves, and they refused to teach them how to read and write. And there's a reason for that, because it was easier to control the ones that were not able to read and write and get out there and fend for themselves. And that's what our school system is pretty much doing.
Then what we need to do is get the...
Water goes the path of least resistance. So if you give people an option to be lazier and dumber and get by, they're going to do it, you know?
We need to get the attendance of the University of Mad Science up, you know? The out-of-the-box thinkers, we need to get that attendance level up. We need to get more people graduated from the University of Mad Science. Dan, did somebody just breeze the cheese?
Yeah. Normally we blame you.
What, somebody me? Man, that was wrong. That's good for radio.
No, it doesn't mean my...
Yeah, if that was a Ukrainian one, if ever I heard one.
All right, well, either way, guys. We got...
proof that it's not just in America then, huh? What I just said.
Cowboy Billy Baked Beans, that is the answer to the energy crisis of the world. If you don't believe me, go look at Caveman Killed the Dinosaur. And...
the methane.
Yeah. So, you know...
Oh.
Go ahead, Ryan.
No, yeah, methane. I was listening to you guys yesterday. That's what killed the dinosaur. I don't know, methane.
Sulfide?
Yeah.
Caveman killed the dinosaur, I'm telling you. That's what history should show, but it don't.
With methane or hydrogen sulfide?
We were talking about...
I learned something new today. We don't fart methane. We don't. We fart hydrogen sulfide.
All right. Well, either way, it stinks. So regardless.
It does, but get your chemicals right, man.
Either way, there's a lot of energy released there that is being wasted. So, I ain't even going to go there.
Well, you know, we were talking about how Tesla, and they try to make it seem like the things he was doing is so outrageous and so crazy it couldn't be, and this and that, you know. I do a lot of arguing with people over what Tesla did and what Tesla didn't, you know. And
well, you know,
and I try to run those tests.
The same people that you argue with over this will go over and put a burrito in the microwave and not even have a clue what's going on inside that microwave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a frequency. It's a short, fast frequency wave that is, rocking the dipole molecule, water molecule, back and forth so fast that it's creating friction, which is creating heat. And so that ought to tell you something. If you're at the right frequency, you can get work done. And you don't have to have a high-powered device, as you've clearly shown with the Slayer Exciter. You don't have to have a high-powered device to get work done out of that.
No, Terry Woodruff had a great video showing exactly how a microwave will cook your burrito. Or light up, the magnetron will just light up a CFL so bright it looks like it's going to explode.
Yep.
So I don't advise drinking out
the magnetron. What you can do with a high-powered Slayer Exciter on one of these like super electromagnets like they used to hit like 1, 2, 3 Tesla was.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, the dual mod Slayer
only.
The dual mod Slayer, you could turn that thing up and, you know, stick a nice antenna on it like Cultus told me to do back in the day, and my pole on the top, and I've done this video. You get some amazing wireless transmission. I could, further than I, there's one video I did, I think it called it Real Wireless Transmission, and I had bulbs up on the ceiling, 10 foot up above. I had stuff all over the place. I was actually walking outside, and it wasn't on the video because I have to film this stuff, you know, by myself. And at that frequency, with that much power, I think I was running 4,000 back through it or something. I don't know, man. It, you can't even get your computer near the room. You know, I mean, it'll shut it down. Hey. It won't just turn off your camera.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because those high volt, high magnetic fields that you produce using those the super electromagnets that they use those basically for magnetizing neodymium magnets, and all they do is they basically just take a solid room temperature piece of magnetic demagnetized magnetic material, toss it in there, pop it for like an instant, and it's when you get done, it's magnetized. So if you can do it with less energy using the Slayer, it might actually bring that down into the range of the realm of the average person being able to basically make all the magnetic material they need. Like
You're almost talking about a thumper. You're almost talking about like a thumper. I've got a can where it's been stuck inside a coil on a Doppler radar transformer. Hit it, like, you know, for like a tenth of a second, it just crushed it down like it was nothing. But I would say a magnetic material on that would be, I bet they're doing that. I bet that's part of that testing facility of those guys where I got those cans from. But, yeah, I mean, I could definitely, maybe we were talking too at a lower voltage over a longer period of time.
Maybe well, that's you just it, though. You have to hit a magnetic
perfect.
Like you have to hit it with a certain amount of saturation before it finally loses control and flips over.
I'm sure Larry.
That's
I'm
why
sure
if you
Larry
take two of them and stick them together, they don't demagnetize because it's not a strong enough field to affect each other's magnetic field. But it only takes an instant. Once it's changed, that's it. It's done. Yeah. You know. So. Slayer Exciter to save the day, you know, when it comes to making all the magnets we need for windmill generators and stuff like that, you know, instead of spending tons of energy just to fire up those coils that they normally use, which I call them coils, but technically they're actually spirals because they're flat sheets that are cut in a circular fashion and laid on top of each other with a barrier between each one.
Wow,
so,
they just zap the crap out of it. Huh.
Right.
Well, I can see how
fill that sheet of metal full.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, and it doesn't deform because it's a sheet instead of just wires. Normally the wires would like expand and then you'd end up with a bunch of stuff broken and whatnot. Not to mention all the heat. They poke holes in those, and then when they stack them all up, they stack them up with some sort of a tube that's thermally conductive running through them so they can pump water through it or helium or something to keep it cool.
All right,
we need magnets. Magnets and copper.
They tried to erase Tesla from history, you know, but we still know about Tesla. And his ultimate goal was to give everybody free energy. You know, if you had that energy crisis solved, then there wouldn't be no reason to be out there fighting over oil and such. And so the mere fact that we're still sitting around and talking about it tells me that there is indeed conspiracies out there because. You know, the electric company, they don't want you to know. I mean, go back and look at Henry Ford and check out his first carburetor that he did and check out the mileage range that he was able to get off the first carburetor system, you know. It's crazy.
Right. Hey, listen, Shazuz, what I'm saying is that it's not that it's not happening. It's that it's not happening to the degree that everybody seems to think. It's, you know, they look around and they think everybody's out to get them. They've all got a conspiracy. It's just a couple guys that stand out above the rest that basically shut everything down. You know, like that, you've got a group of people that go, man, we can do all this new stuff with this new computer we're putting out. And they're like, yeah, but do we really need to do that to sell it? Then don't put that on there.
Well, Apple's
you know,
a pretty...
We're not spending the money on that. We'll do that next time. You know?
Apple's a pretty good example of that. They put out a
right.
phone with without a camera when they still had the technology to do it with the camera, just so that they could sell one without it, and then a few months later say, hey, we got an upgrade. You know, this one has a camera, you know.
Right.
But either way, it's still a conspiracy, you know, and these guys got the money, and so they get their stuff out there on the market, as opposed to the average Joe who comes across a good idea, whether it be a rediscovery or a new discovery, and have a heck of a time getting it out there, and then there comes the men in black, you know. It's a matter of national security. We can't let you sell this. We can't give you a patent on it because it says perpetual motion or free energy or all that kind of stuff. All I'm trying to point out is that the information, it's been out there all along, and if all these guys are going to sit around and complain all the time that we got to save the planet from global warming, then why are we sitting there arguing about it? Why aren't we doing it? Why isn't there a more efficient devices out there to, at the very least, supplement your energy usage and run your lighting on something less than what, you know, than what it takes with the average system? You know, it can be done. And when I said about the whole, I wish the oil would all disappear, because then everybody would be forced into the corner where they had to try these other technologies, you know. But, you know, here's where we find ourselves. You know, we're talking about proven free energy, and I'm telling you, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking for it, because you're surrounded in it. It's just a matter of you being educated enough to know that you can do the same work for less energy. Am I wrong?
Draw on the ball. Gordon, what do you think of that, mate?
You gotta unmute your mic, man.
I can see you there.
You gotta unmute your mic, brother.
I thought I'd throw him in the show just randomly there, but he's
He's quiet, man.
He's got us turned down like volume to nothing, so Brandy doesn't hear, man, and start picking him up again.
Ah, there he is. I hear him now.
I thought it was Ken.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were doing Dying Lab really good there.
Let me ask Ken a question.
Go for it.
Kent, you got a pretty good head about yourself. You pretty got some common sense going on. What do you think the solution to this whole thing's going?
The solution to the whole thing?
The solution to getting this world to using some common sense, to getting some free energy out there. I know my words ain't very good because I got a face that's hurting
that's all right.
I got a god awful toothache.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see where you're getting at. I see what you're getting at. Well, yeah, obviously you got to use common sense, but you got to be. But we got to sit down and got to go through every single one of these things that have been done pre-internet age and find the similarities between all of the circuits.
Because
somewhere there is a common, or shall we say, trick that's making these work. And I'm not talking, so, you know, some of them obviously have been debunked as frauds, and that's easy to do, but there's a lot of them out there that, you know, from Tesla to, McFarlane. Daniel McFarlane's patent that he had in 1897. Things like that. Things that weren't upset as fraud, but they all have underlying features that must be related.
Well, one thing, one device out there that I guarantee you not even the men in black could debunk, and that's the Mercury Arc rectifier. And so, in that point in time when they were switching over from DC to AC current, and they needed to still be able to run the equipment that they were running back in the day, like the high voltage DC electric motors for elevators and such, they needed a device by which they could rectify that AC current and turn it into DC current, high voltage DC, without major losses, so that they could do this. That's where the mercury arc rectifier came into play. It was not only the first diode ever created, but it was also the first plasma reactor that ever was created. And that thing had potential well beyond what they even possibly imagined back in the day. That device, to this very day, is still being used in smaller forms using inert gases instead of using mercury. The little fluorescent bulb starters that I keep pointing out in my videos. These things are incredible to the potential that they actually have. You don't have to have a whole lot of energy in order to turn that gas into the plasma state. These fluorescent bulbs that were lighting up, if you could see inside that bulb while it was going on, you would see that the same exact thing is going on. You're getting a plasma state inside there. You know, science teaches about the three states of matter. You got a solid, a liquid, a gas. The fourth state of matter is whenever you turn that gas into plasma. You could actually turn a solid into plasma with the right frequencies. And
well, yeah, I mean, it is activity of the atomic level.
Yeah.
So where you've got a very small amount of vibration, you're basically looking at a solid object. Where you've got a huge amount, and we're talking a huge amount of vibration, you've got plasma.
And this is why John Hutchinson's work was so intriguing to me, and I feel bad for the guy because, you know, back in the day, he was pretty popular for the things that he was doing. I mean, he was melting metal, for Pete's sake. He was melting it like butter. And, you know, some people thought it was fake, and some people thought it was real. And then, you know, people tried to debunk all this kind of stuff. And he even got to the point where he was doing some levitation. And, of course, the longer time went on, that deal we were talking about where they'll send people in to debunk the heck out of and put enough doubt in everybody's mind that this isn't even remotely possible, that now if you look at John Hutchinson's stuff, you'll get a 50-50 mix in the chat rooms where people are like, oh, that's phony, you know, and this is how they're doing it, you know, or whatever. But going back to the microwave oven, you can rock water molecules fast enough to create heat, then you're doing something. There's something going on inside here. That's the anomaly that is the key to proving that these frequency waves are doing something. You can take a radio frequency and you can actually get metal to get hot, you know, and something's going on there. You're actually, you know, like the induction heating. What do you think's actually happening in induction heating? You're getting those electrons to bouncing around at such a rapid rate that it's creating friction, which in turn is creating heat. And so this is why I say that the frequency is the key to the whole deal. And to be able to turn a different form of energy back into usable current, that's where the plasma state comes into play. Because with these little fluorescent bulb starters that I use, you actually get to see physical plasma inside that tube. And if you get that tube energized enough, that thing will glow so bright that it will literally explode that bulb. And that's a fact. So, with that said, you're building up a lot of pressure inside a vacuum that is only allowing that current to flow in one direction. You've got an anomaly there that is well worth and beyond, you know, look into it, trust me. Anybody think I'm crazy?
But, no, we just have to verify.
I would love anyone to come to my lab and scrutinize what it is that I'm saying. That's why I want to get virtual labs up and running. That's why I want to get a situation like me and Cultus and everybody's been talking about, to get a centralized lab to where we can get other researchers to come in there, because I want measurements on this thing. I know what I know, and I want people to be able to verify it while real time. And plasma, when you get into the plasma state, I'm telling you, everybody, I know you've all heard about ion drive motors where they usually use like capacitors, and they'll have the capacitor hanging from a string and they'll discharge that capacitor and you get motion and stuff going from that. Well, imagine a plasma drive motor to where you wouldn't even have to take no fuel with you. It's just going to take whatever it sucks up in the atmosphere, whether it be dirt or whatever. ionize it, turn it into the plasma state long enough to give you that pressure behind it. If you're getting pressure inside that tube, you're also getting pressure on the outside of that tube. You see where I'm coming from?
Hmm. Interesting. Well, guys, gals, I'm going to pull the plug for the night, so...
Well, brother, it's been an honor.
I bid you all adieu.
And when you get some spare time and want to come over to my lab, we'll work on some things.
There's an offer. I don't refuse.
Can't refuse that. Okay.
All right, brother.
Good night.
Mother.
Take care. For good morning, wherever you may be.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Ellie, what do you think about all this? Do you think is this isn't too far above your head, is it? Or are you a mad scientist yourself?
Well, I can't say I'm as in deep as you guys, but I'm interested. My dad is quite interested in a lot of this sort of stuff, so I get little pockets of information from him. And obviously talking to cultists a lot, so, you know. But I think it's quite interesting to listen to you guys.
Ellie's father doesn't know it yet, but he's going to get me a pole big. He's the town linesman, isn't he?
I've been working that angle for almost 2 weeks now, man. I don't know. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I'll see where you've been hanging out. Just while I have everyone's attention, I'll throw it out there for the lovely Dame of Indiana. Shannon is floating around in the Knights of the Round Table room and unable to join us due to no microphone, I believe, quite limited internet. So,
man.
She wants you all to know she loves you.
We love her too.
Blah, blah, and all the rest of it, normal. And who is tapping their microphone?
It ain't me.
Someone's in trouble, man.
All right, so anyway.
Threw me off.
Shannon said she just got her mic. Pull her in.
Basically, what I'm trying to say and trying to point out and have been trying to point out, and I'm sure y'all pointed it out and we're probably preaching to the choir on the deal, is if you're going to sit out there in this world and you're going to complain about saving the planet, then do it. Back a researcher, you know, back Larry or Cultus or Dieden or Orion or somebody, you know, back one of us or back
hello,
all of us.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going there, Shannon?
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yep. Welcome to the Knights.
We
hi!
Using a different microphone, though.
For those of you who's not familiar with Shannon, she's not only a brilliant artist and a lovely lady, she is also one of the honorable dames of the round table. And she hadn't been here for a while.
Hi.
Sorry, I'm talking funny because
I
got sinus problems and a toothache.
I know. I know, I've been talking to Mama. She feels so bad for you.
It's been a heck of a week, man.
Oh.
It's been brutal. And the bad thing is
Sanders
we're not done with me yet.
Everybody.
Well, give him a hug for us. Tell him we love him.
Hi.
Good night, buddy.
How's it going, brother?
They all said, how's it going? Good.
Anyway.
He was headed out to go fishing.
Cool. Well, like I said, though, if they're going to sit around and complain about all the things that need to be done in this world, and they ain't going to do it, I mean, come on, guys. We've been talking about energy crisis for over 30-some-odd years. We've been talking about starvation in the world and sickness and all this kind of stuff, and we have all the technology. It's just a matter of putting the brilliant minds together and just doing it, because you're obviously not going to get it done via the system that's out there right now. I mean, if they were going to do it, if they wanted to do it, it'd be a done deal because they have access to the same internet that we do. They have access to the same tools, and well, actually probably better tools than what we've got, and we're still doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is what we do, Shaziz.
Well, darn, I missed out on most of it, so I don't get to know what's going on.
Well, yeah, sure you get to know. We're out there saving the world.
Go back and listen to it later.
We're out there saving the world one brain at a time. While you're in the chat room there, Shannon, have you got your diploma from the University of Mad Science yet?
I don't think I have.
Well, there's a link inside the chat room if you haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
That you click on that and take the test and see if you can graduate.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so graduating. So graduating. I'm excited. Yes, I'm going to graduate.
Hey, Colton.
Hey, yeah.
While we've been on here, it's funny. You know, I took a picture of the mott I tore apart.
Yes.
Turned it into
the, yeah, I already saw the comment.
Yeah, and you know where that's coming from. Germany, anyway.
Yep, yep. And
did you
and
see that
to
comment?
Answer their question, to
a
answer their question, you can spot weld the microwave oven transformer back together using the microwave oven transformer currently.
Yeah,
that is.
I know, but they're just
and by the way,
got a little bit of spite in them for some reason. I just don't understand. Anyway.
It's probably those skinny wires you use and then you oversize mine.
Anyway, but see, that's just the show. I mean, what Kent was talking about, how people, I mean, it.
Did you see the one I linked you?
No,
you got to go back through it. I linked you the one I did here in Roxbury about a year ago, and yeah. it's got wire about twice as thick as yours on there. It's like 800 amp output. It was insane.
Yeah. I thought about just getting just some iron cores myself, you know, just making just some big crazy one.
Hey,
man.
Hey, look at and this goes for all you are interested in you know, building your own transformers and so on. Go through Photonic Inductions channel. You will come across when he actually does made his own high voltage transformer. That is well worth a look.
Is that the younger guy? No, that's not.
No, him. He's about mid-30s. I got a goatee from England, and
I'm subscribed.
I love his channel.
Yeah, everyone knows Photonic Induction. He's the one that blows up Christmas balls and crap.
Yeah, I was worried about him there for a while because he up and disappeared there for a while.
He did because someone was ripping off his YouTube videos. And we got on top of that, so all's good.
Solved. That's the same thing that happened to Muddy, right?
Yep.
See, that just shows you right there, just parts of this that people don't even understand. I mean, yeah, people, they, you know, making a buck. They see something, they don't even care what it is, they rip it off and steal it and try to sell magnets, I think was what they were doing. Anyway,
yeah. Yeah, well, that's how it rolls, doesn't it? You know, I mean, as soon as we come up with one good idea, someone's always going to be standing off to the side wanting to profiteer off us. And that's why we've got to be quick enough to make sure that what we put out there is replicatable in such a fashion that anyone can do it at just about any budget. So there's no need for you to get, you know, give, I don't know, someone like your buddy Teslatronics over there, who, as we all know, ripped off, you know, $37,000 or something on people. But anyway, when that, you know, all took place.
Well, me.
Yeah, but that.
What build on?
Ryan and I are from the same line of thinking. We like recycled junk, things that people throw in the trash. So if you can make it out of things
Me
that people
too.
Throw in the trash, yeah. See, Shannon's in on too. She makes a lot of beautiful art with trash.
You should see what I'm making right now.
Can't wait to see it.
It's going to be pretty cool. It has to do with brakes and, it's just going to be. And we tore apart some sewing machines, so I'm a. Gonna use some of those parts too.
Cool.
I need to send you some parts. I got a box of stuff. I was gonna try to stick it in the package when I sent it to Cultus. I mean, just a bunch of just gears and all kinds of stuff. You know, because the Tesla art part of Abrams Lab. Like I said, he's been on vacation for a while. I've been a little obsessed with this stuff, but I do. I have a bunch of, you know, I've spent this week just building stuff in a. Burning components off the back of circuit boards. I think Terry was doing that.
Get it to Shaziz. I'll pick it up from Shaziz when I go down there soon.
Well, that's cool. I got his address. I need to
cool.
send
hey, speaking of mad science guys, where's Muddy at?
Sleeping, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I have to tell you, I watched your 2-hour show. What was that? Your 2-hour show you guys had?
Sorry, but
just recently.
It was a week ago tonight, I think it was, when they did it.
Whenever you posted it, whatever. I watched the whole thing in silence because I didn't have any speakers or mic. And your guys' facial expressions and the laughter, I was like, gosh, I wish I knew what they were saying.
You probably didn't, actually.
No,
Well, probably because of some of the things. It was just hilarious.
You guys Shaziz talking about the one where Shaziz is on the ceiling, right?
Yeah, when he's just
upside
down.
Upside down.
Like,
yeah. I was gonna
be in that, but then my wife had a whole different plan for me. So.
Yeah, wives are good for that.
Oh yeah, the alternate plan B. It was
sucks to be you.
I heard something really funny yesterday on the news. Remember when they shut the government down? You know, I don't know, like a year ago or something. It's so funny. The amount of babies that were created for government workers for that time, it's like a huge, massive baby boom because of. So think about it. Just everything, the power went off everywhere for like a week, and you'd have a population explosion, man.
Well, there's another reason why they ought to back us up, because if they're worried about the world being overpopulated, they don't want the power grid to go down, because what are you going to do when the power goes down? What do you got to do?
Birth rates have dropped. So we're not even technically, I mean,
we're not overpopulated, but, you know, these folks out here who think all this stuff and listen to the mainstream science geeks, I mean, these guys, they ought to be ashamed. They can't even call themselves real geeks, man. They're idiots. I'm always giving NASA a rash.
They're lackeys, and they work for the agenda for the politics at the moment.
Yeah.
They don't say what they want to say.
They
just
sell
like,
out, man.
You know, when I was a kid, the Ice Age was coming. And now, I mean, how many different names have they called this? You know, now they'll come up with a new one in a year from now, and it'll be called global whatever.
Yeah, it's,
oh,
it's climate disruption
whatever.
Now.
Global whatever.
Did Mikko just join in? Mikko?
I believe Mikko's been in and out. He's been in that trouble.
Oh, man.
Oh,
jeez.
Mikko. Be silly.
I am suffering. Ugh.
Don't suffer, Shaziz. I will be there soon.
Go hook up that NST and get that breakout going like you guys did with the marshmallow. And go grab a drill bit and stick your hand in it, and I bet you'll feel better after a while. I'm telling you, just do it. It's a cure-all. Come on.
I'm going to come to Missouri very soon, hopefully. And I'm going to give you an ice pack to put on your little jaw.
Cool.
I think that name... That was kind of pointed out what the problem is there. He's in misery.
Nice, Tom. Nice.
That hurt just thinking about it. Anyway.
Misery, USA.
So we've got a lot of brilliant. We've got a lot of.
About?
I'm trying to get it going, and you're just like, "Well, what are you talking about?" So we got a lot of brilliant minds. We got a lot of brilliant minds that we brought together, and so we're actually getting things done. We're getting connections made. We're building the network that Thomas always talks about, and we're actually trying to get a physical place, kind of like the Geeks group, but our own, that we can actually get some real time stuff going on. Plus, we've got to get virtual labs up and running. Get it real time.
Yeah.
And this is the only way that I'm going to see that we're going to, you know, solve the so-called energy crisis without, you know, asking for permission. This whole, you know, I got to get a patent thing.
How exactly were you going to get that going? I mean, what, just have it on the web page and then just go on, turn on the computer live and just stream it?
Yeah.
Live?
Yeah. Right, it's three quarters built, right? But our web build is being called out to active duty.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's the only issue with virtual.
Because I mean, if it was a
Shout
matter of just turning on if it's a matter of just turning on a computer or you know turning a computer on, turning the camera on, and setting it up somewhere in here, heck, guys, to see or watch me get accidentally electrocuted every once in a while.
We know.
I mean, that's the thing I tell people.
You would probably.
I'm trying to make sure it's more educational than entertainment.
Ryan, you would probably make the perfect central point for the Tesla. But to be quite honest,
poor people like
not
you. You're an electric Tesla.
Tesla
miss.
You know,
Tesla
miss. Ryan's an electricity junkie. He's got to have it every day.
doesn't it?
That's horrible.
He does.
Look, he's got my vote. Anybody who wants to willingly go up and shake hands with a bolt of lightning and say howdy do, that's my favorite mad science guy.
He's awesome.
Like the grizzly. It's neat. It's really neat, but like I was saying, guys, I haven't really been shooting a lot of big bolts. I've been trying to send power through the air. I just find that to be, that's like I've made the video, that was Tesla's dream, man. He wanted to light up and send power to everybody, and
well,
you know, I'm going to play with it.
Larry.
And once again, that's why I don't like to do all the breakout. I mean, the breakout's cool and everything, but
I'm not even looking at the chat. You guys are talking two conversations.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to come up. You know,
there's something.
Join the one in chat here. Put it out on the radio. Come on, ladies and gentlemen.
My goodness, I'm
there's too much giggling going on in the background that our poor audience has no idea what is going on.
I hope Larry doesn't repeat that. That'll hurt Shaziz's mouth.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, I'm already in pain.
No electricity with the tooth. Not good.
Yeah.
Put some of those infrared diodes, man, on your cheek. Get some deep tissue infrared in there.
Yeah, but the Native Americans have piles of lodestone all around the United States with pieces of iron in them. When they had pain or problems like that, they would go and use the lodestone and the iron, and that will eliminate the pain.
Will a neodymium magnet do it?
I would imagine that it would.
All right, well, I'm putting one on my face right now.
We're running a virtual test
treatment.
Live. Well, see, just think about it. It takes blood to circulate to bring the white blood cells to make something better. You've got iron in your blood. When you attract that iron through the magnet at a point of pain, that brings more blood into the capillary, circulates the blood. You feel better.
Hmm.
You know,
or you could just swish your mouth with coconut oil and might help a lot.
Surprisingly enough, either it's a placebo or a placebo effect, or it's actually working. I got this magnet stuck to the side of my face, and it doesn't hurt.
You sure it's not just because the magnet's cool and it's actually cooling the skin down?
That could be. But regardless, I'm holding this magnet on my face.
Put one on the inside of your mouth, one on the outside, it'll hold itself there.
Yeah, then I'll cut the circulation off something.
Hey, just don't swallow. Don't put a magnet in your mouth. Just don't put it in.
I have a huge amount of magnets we could stick right on the side of your face.
Oh, great.
Big, strong magnet.
Oh, man.
Cultists can vouch for that. I have lots and lots of
So you
of
haven't magnets. Had any accidents and have any stainless in your head, right?
I got a piece of metal in my head, but it's in the back. Anyway,
yeah, don't put it near that. That'll be a problem.
I got a buddy that actually we can stick magnets to his knees.
Alright. I now have a stack of 20 magnets on my face.
On that note, I think we should go for a few solid shizzies.
Alright.
You got yourself a nice warm cup of coffee to warm up your poor, docile tooth.
Yeah.
Get some aluminum foil and chew on that.
Well, the bad thing about it is, it's not a tooth because they pulled the tooth. They pulled 8 teeth out.
Oh,
that's all right, mate. Just jam a bit of Vegemite into your finger and just
get it
in there, mate.
That's nasty, man.
After that.
But see, here's the thing, guys.
All cane fruits carry a little Vegemite.
Hey.
What?
I don't want no Vegemite. Vegemite is nasty.
Vegemite is beautiful.
I call it Vegemite. It's nasty.
It's nasty. And this is PG rated. Anyway, listen.
Definitely.
Listen, before my brain stops, and I think it just did. Anyway,
you let the riffraff in the room, huh? Hey, whiz.
Anyway, when they pulled the teeth out, they took a grinder in there and grind the bone down flat. And so I think that's what's giving me the rash.
Mm. Oh.
They did that on both sides. I'm telling you, the dentists are brutal, man. I think that what they were doing was, every so often they would look out in the hallway to see if anybody was watching, and they'd come running in and beat the heck out of me, and then, you know, go back out and see if anybody was looking again. And this went on for about an hour, so it was a brutal trip to the dentist. If you can visualize all that. Anyway, I still got the magnets on my face. I'm putting a couple songs on.
Will you play me a dance song?
A dance song?
I want to dance.
I'm pretty sure the most brutal part of that that visit is probably whenever you get the check, too, or the bill.
Oh, yeah, that would stink. Anyway, I'm going to find her a dance song. Here you go. I'm going to put this one here on. And so we'll go from there. Da-da-da-da-da. Come on. All right, here we go. Ready? We're going to music break. You're listening to... You're listening... That's not the dance tune. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table and the insanity therein. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Don't forget the...
Your mind. I'm speaking in the house tonight. Move your body from left to right. something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. Thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway
late nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shaziz the Ouch right now. Okay, that wasn't funny, was it? Anyway.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, so, you know, all the good people of the world got their backs up against the wall, man. We see ways to fix the world, but we can't get the common sense going, flowing good enough to get everybody to do what it is that needs to be done, so we're doing it ourselves. We're bringing together brilliant minds from all over the globe, all different nations, and we're actually putting devices together that hopefully one day will actually solve the so-called energy crisis. We always got to look over the shoulder and make sure the men in black or the debunkers ain't out there trying to throw the seed of doubt out there. But if you don't believe something works that's on my channel, then build it yourself and tell me where I'm wrong, or vice versa on any of the other channels out there. You know, the whole key is to get you to think outside the box, you know, to think for yourself, to not believe the indoctrination you've been had to live with all your life. And try to figure out the real history of the world as opposed to the one that's kind of like put out there in front of you. So with that said, any ideas on all that? Man, radio silence. Y'all killing me, man.
Sure. Everybody can do it. It's all out there. YouTube has got so many things on it that can create some portion of free energy. From lighting one light bulb to powering your house to powering a community, it's all out there. If we can do it, all we've got to do is wake one new person up every day.
Well, and that's the key, you know, trying to get people to think for themselves outside the little bubble that they're in. So, you know, what's it going to take? Is it going to take a whole system of the power grid falling apart before people actually got to get up there and try to figure something out? Because if that's the case,
by that time it'd be too late.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So that's why I always say, you know, while you have the opportunity, go out there and do research. Download these videos. Download the information, the patents, the designs, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, sort through it as you go to find out which ones are keepers and which ones ain't, you know. If somebody's trying to sell you a free energy device, walk away, because there's people out there trying to give it away, you know.
Well, Better still, if you come across someone selling you a free energy device, send them to me and get them to sell
one.
Me too.
We'll just break them down.
Well,
break them down, cut them up, and leave them in the bottom. Of what? Yeah.
And that's what needs needs to be done. You know,
we need a collection of tools to work with. And I'm going to pass a link.
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Whether you want to.
whether you want to go ahead and send it out there.
All I want is people to start thinking outside the box and start looking into all these different anomalies that are going on in these energy devices, you know. You know, I ain't opposed to somebody, if they come up with a really good design, making some money off of the thing, but, you know, if it's going to come down to benefiting the world, and if you're really going to get it out there to the public, you know, do like the static research group. What's that called there, Cultus?
The Atmomata.
Atmospheric research folks out there. They're getting an amazing amount of energy out of the sky, man, and they're using things like wires going across a couple hundred foot tall poles, and got little microfibers of graphene going on, and they're picking up a massive amount of energy just right out of the sky. And so if they can do this, there ain't no reason why the system couldn't do that, outside of the fact that, you know, there's no profit in it. You know, you can't sell no drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets and ammunition if ain't nobody going to war. It's common sense. So it doesn't have to be a conspiracy to be, you know, stupid. That's all I got to say about that stuff, man.
So how is... I haven't followed lately because I've been so busy, but... How is the Atmo motor coming? That was really cool.
Yep, the Atmo motor is wandering along slowly.
Mostly he's waiting on his lab to get home.
Still not there?
No,
wow.
No. Well, I did send it a long way from home, if we all recall. So,
true.
You know,
yeah.
It's got a long way to come back.
Yeah.
So that's all
the
good.
Lovely lady just showed up.
We're waiting on some stuff to arrive.
Dave Shannon's on the mics with us. You want to say hi?
As, it doesn't seem like I'll be leaving the country again anytime soon. So,
hello, everybody. Beverly's here.
Get things orchestrated to work on it there.
Sorry, mate.
So you're going to try to get things together to try to work on it there?
Yeah, at least for the time being. I mean, it's a small enough project.
Right. Just so you know, because apparently some people that clicked on that link that I sent you guys thought that it was like a link for a motor or something. It's not. That's just what's being simulated. It's a free package of software for simulating magnetic and electrostatic devices and whatnot on.
Cool.
So it's called the Finite Element Methods Magnetics. So
I'm
the website is www.femm.info.
Say hi, lady.
Hey, everybody.
Cultus, did you get...
Hello, Mama.
Hi, Mama.
How are you guys?
Fabulous.
No sense in complaining, Mama.
Hey, Culty, check your private message Facebook, please.
Me?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Sorry. Mama.
No, you're okay.
Oh, all right. I got brain damage. I just got a brain freeze.
I just made him a nice big cherry and banana smoothie.
You should stick that in your gob and suck it down, brother.
I am.
You're such a geek nurse.
Aww, thank you so much.
And she's cute, too.
You are. Oh, she's beautiful.
Well, thank you. You're making my head swell.
That's where I got my good looks from, isn't it, Mama?
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with that said, go ahead, Cultus.
No worries, buddy. Yeah, as far as Atmo motor research goes, current state is waiting on Wimshurst generator to arrive, which should be here no later than the 1st of August. Once we have that in our possession, we'll dismantle it from its current way it's built. We will then proceed to take both atmospheric motors, connect one of the charge plates to each motor from the Wimshurst generator, and then try to get the Atmo motor to power itself. We've found the sticky point. We've found the spot in which the system does actually grab, and we have to overcome what may have been mistaken as Lenz's law to an untrained eye. We haven't really got a name for it yet, so it's just been referred to as the opposites attract. issue that we're facing, because that's what's going on. We're charging up these two opposing charge discs.
I think that's happening because you're not checking the power.
Yeah, exactly, Mitko, exactly. This is the only, because the biggest concern I had was whether or not we would actually find a lensing effect in the generator. Now it seems
the opposite.
It seems there is none. Yeah, it seems there is none. So this is good. As long as we can keep that energy being extracted off, because what I'm actually aiming for, and yep, I know everyone goes, oh, you can't do a closed loop. Yeah, shut up. I'm doing a closed loop system with an input, and that input, as we all probably gather before I even open my mouth, will be from, like, it'll just be an antenna wire coming down from the sky. So it's actually not a powered input.
So no more balloons and kites.
No more balloons and kites, Shannon. No.
That was so much fun, though.
Not unless I do it again for fun, anyway. Hey,
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself that day.
I know you didn't at all, but
I felt very let down that day.
That's not why I enjoyed myself. It was just because it was just research. It was.
I didn't expect them.
So, the reason. Anyway.
Cultist.
Yes, buddy.
I did, remember when I ran the copper wire 200 feet?
Yeah.
You know, I was getting voltage off of it.
Yep.
So I ran something a little smaller, but what I did was I took some really fine sandpaper and hit the line every once in a while, and that sharp, pointy edges, even at a small microscopic level, you understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All
right. So. Yeah. No, you're dead right, mate. Yep. Yep. And that is something you'll find in the original antenna design that I'd had put together for the Atmo motor, was that it comprised of a bunch of needles.
Yeah. But if you can do that on a small,
faster thing, dude.
Yeah.
Better. Well, I'm just saying, like, when you sand a surface,
you're getting that same effect. Yeah, no, you're dead right. Yeah, you're dead right. Yeah, and you are effectively creating the exact same thing, but you're creating 10 million of them in an inch square. So, this is the benefit there.
Anyway, that static motor and my research to the last video that I did there, the solar-powered Tesla coil, they all have something in common together, and it goes back to whenever I was talking about getting work with just voltage alone. So that's why I want to put together a wind turbine that will give me a ludicrous amount of high voltage. I'm not worried about current amps and watts and all that kind of stuff.
We've got that one down pat for you. We just got to get the parts up together and get it put together for you. There's been much discussion on how that's going to be achieved.
Wants to hit ludicrous speed before he can hit plaid.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, I've seen that movie.
he just needs a lot of energy.
Well, I tell you what, man.
Depends what he does with it after that. Decide what it turns into.
Yeah, when you see what I got in mind, once I get that, you're going to like it.
Yeah, nice.
You get me that generator, I'll give you a lightning bolt. I guarantee it.
Sweet. I'll be waiting. I'm already waiting.
So anyway, we got a lot of ideas on the table, and we're running down to the wire now, and time flies when you're having fun.
As always.
And I took a pain pill, so my brain and my speech is slurred, so if it sounds like I'm intoxicated, it wasn't because of liquor.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he is.
Oh, I wished I was. Of course, then again, the whole
good papa's in my bed.
No,
in the bad
food again. The whole hangover afterwards wouldn't be any fun. Hangover, toothache, all together. That's just not my bread of fun.
She's gone from Australia. We've got a quick fix for that, man. Get up and keep drinking.
Well, I'm telling you, I swear up and down that doctor was looking down the hall to see if anybody was watching, running in there beating me toothless, man.
Man, you already told him, I guess, huh?
What? Oh, yeah, it was Beverly's plan all along. Did you hear that?
Well, no,
what,
I just...
get you beaten up?
Yeah.
I just...
What, do you think she can spell out that alone?
I think so. So, oh, well, oh! So the truth comes out. Hey, we'll get old King Shazam's the Terrible. Wait till he goes to the dentist.
Well, I keep telling him, you know, that if I kick him in the shin, maybe he'll forget about his mouth.
Well, that's what Brian just said. He said he wants to hit my thumb with a hammer and give me a shot of whiskey and I'll forget about my face.
Well, that's right. I agree.
Man, I don't want you guys as my doctor.
I told him the other day.
All you need to do is eat the dog. Once he's out.
Holy smokes.
That's right.
Can somebody add Steve Hope to the deal there?
Last night it was kind of comical because last night I blended liquid green beans and liquid potted meat. It just looked like baby food. Just like really runny diarrhea.
Oh,
baby
come
food.
On. This is TV. This is radio. Alright, somebody add Steve Hope to the conversation real quick because we're running out of time here.
Too much information. Yummy, sorry, mom. Folks.
Anybody got him?
What's he on now?
I don't even know if he's on my friends list because he got kind of frustrated with me. It's the Steve I think it was.
Right. Let me see if I can add him in.
Which one's he on? This is the problem. He's got like eight different accounts.
He just tried to call. He's on Steve Hope. We're down to the last 10 minutes.
I know which one he's on because he's pretending to be offline. So here we go. Is he?
He's pretending to be offline.
Shit. Yeah. There's Caber.
Yay. All right, let's try that. Hopefully he'll get in here and be in the nick of time.
Doesn't look like it's doing anything at all. Nada.
Anyway. Okay. So, the doctor, we're at the dentist office, they all conspired behind my back all the night. They got together with the doctor and said, okay.
Not all of us. Hey.
you mean I had one friend in the pile there?
It thanks. Was Thomas's age. He's not even one of you.
Thanks,
Thomas.
Oh, come on now. You guys didn't even bother to tell me, man.
Oh, you would have been... He's just mad because you didn't tell him. You didn't let him in on the scheme, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can feel the love.
We love you.
Yeah, I can see it. They're all peeking around. They're all peeking around the corner to see if the doctor's peeking out. Oh, man. Don't go to the dentist around these guys. And don't go to Ryan's doctor's office either, man, because he uses a bad anesthetic.
Shocking.
Yeah. All right, well.
kinetic. I'm a kinetic. No, I just.
Yeah.
Here. Back.
Here, hold your thumb out.
Five times. Your feet hurt anyway.
How does that tooth feel now? Oh, the tooth. I can't even feel the tooth through the throbbing thumb.
Yeah.
Tooth feels fine. My thumb's killing me. Alright, so that's like moving that inner chi around. Anyway, this is the time we got to go around the table and let everybody have their last say there. And so, with that said, it's been a brilliant night's around. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say brilliant this go because somebody's trying to get me killed at the doctor's office.
What are friends for? We got your back.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just trying to help a brother out. Anyway, who wants to go first? You wanna take the run?
Yeah, I'll do it, mate. You're right. Alrighty, so let's start off. I've got a nice long list here, so we'll start off with Mitko. Mitko, your words of wisdom for the week, my friend.
I don't know, just keep thinking and always ask questions.
Good, well That's said, it. Man.
Very good. Ellie, do you have anything to add as a last hurrah on the way out
Did
the door?
You enjoy today's show, Ellie?
Yeah, it was good. Good fun.
Did you learn anything?
A few things. And I laughed very hard and almost cried.
Cool. We nearly made her cry, dude.
Man.
In a good way.
We got skills.
Jeez, I'm yeah.
Well, thanks,
new
Ellie.
Skills.
We're always wanting you to come back, so maybe you join us next Sunday if you can.
Yes, I will.
Cool.
Sounds fun.
I will say, if you're up for it, too, there's tonight. We're going to try to have that... The Mad Science Happy Hour.
Cool.
8 o'clock Central Standard
Time. See if
time.
We can keep it happy.
All right. Well, if my face ain't fried out by then, I will join you.
Excellent.
Sir Ryan Abram, your words of wisdom for the week, sir.
I don't know. Try not to get electrocuted. No.
Yes. Never learn electrical safety by accident.
I'm looking at a pair of wire snips right here, and on the bottom it says never use on live circuit. And I just want everybody to try to think a little bit more so that they don't have to put that on something. You know, I mean, really, seriously.
You mean
you have to put that on there? I wonder why. Probably because somebody will sue somebody if they cut a live circuit with this. And actually get money if it doesn't say it on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just want everybody to think outside the box. Take what you see. Try not to throw a lot of garbage away. Try to reuse it. That's what recycling is. And test. That's
Yay.
All I can say.
Mm-hmm. Here.
If it says so hot, don't touch it.
Sir
Thomas. Who's
Sir
next?
Thomas, do not look into the laser with remaining eye. I'm going to say, since everybody's already been pounding away on thinking outside the box and asking questions, network. Find other people that are like-minded to work with. Many hands make light of a heavy load.
This is very, very, very
good. Hey, brother.
Sir Larry, your words of wisdom for the week, sir.
Don't lose the faith. Keep trying. We've found lots of ways that don't work. We're still looking for something to do.
Well, I think we got plenty to do. We just got to get them on there.
Dame Shannon.
Well, I'll continue to listen to the Knights of the Round Table. And now there's two dames, which I'm very excited
Yay,
about.
Three. We got that here.
Three. Well, she's the queen, so.
Yeah.
But the queen also, but just that, you know, to meet people and to love them, and you know how I am about loving everyone, so, I mean, just to pass on the good nature of us.
Well, you can't go wrong with love. That's for sure.
I always say, live life, love, and find joy.
Amen.
Love in any language. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Sing it, baby.
You could be the closing song.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm sure everybody would end very soon.
Hey, I've seen you or heard you sing, and you're great.
Yep. And laughter's good medicine, so even
Dollars.
If you... laughter's good medicine, so even if you choke, I'll feel better.
I'll bop him in the jaw for you, Shannon.
Ow! All right, who's next?
And as usual, from me, you all stay safe, be good, and pop over to the website during the week, which is cultus.weebly.com, cultus.weebly.com. So head over there, you can find links to all of our research that's going on over there. And yeah, other than that, you know,
eventually new developments when we finally get the virtual labs online, it'll be linked there.
Yep. Exactly. And and if you're new to the cryptocurrency world, check out Banksy Coin.
Cool. Is that it?
And Jonathan doesn't get to say anything. Say he didn't show up.
He was here for the last 3 seconds. It doesn't count. He has nothing.
Waiting. For my boss, which didn't get up. Who didn't get up. And
that's
so
right. You go listen to the podcast.
Told you Muddy was sleeping. Oh, we knew it.
Not that boss. Appearing in Santa Monica. No, I'm just kidding. I wish.
We love you guys anyway, man.
To do a job.
Cool. Well, we love you guys anyway. So with that said, guys, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Thanks to all the Honorable Knights and Queen Beverly over here, Dame Shannon and Dame Ellie and everybody out there listening in. Stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table and take some advice from all of us. And, you know, just get up there and do it and do some research. And if you got any questions, you can always contact us on Skype. You can become one of the Honorable Knights of the Round Table just simply by joining in at the Round Table. Because this is your platform. We want you to have a voice. We want the solutions to get out there. keep spreading the ideas, keep networking. Our networks are growing by the day. And Ryan's out there electrocuting himself in his lab, and we love him for it. And so, you hear that?
Come in,
Director 19.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Ryan, but you're creating a lot more static than clarity.
Right? Yeah, well, anyway, that's what Mad Science is all about. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. Stay tuned for the next one. And so, you know, with that said, I'll play us up out of here with our normal outro. But in the meantime, you can be a Knight of the Round Table just by showing up in the chat room at ShazizRadio.com, Awake Radio, or No Borders Radio, or 1800 Online, TCT Radio. There's multiples out there, more than I got time to say, because I'm already going to be running over in somebody else's time. Peace and love to everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned for more episodes. Same bat time, same bat channel. Fire us out here, Ryan. Yeehaw! Ryan's over there shaking the hand of a bolt of lightning. He's my favorite mad science guy. So peace and love. Take care.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're Knights of the Round Table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm. Oh,
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to serve the table and the Knights of the Round Table.